Welcome to the All or Something Living podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Kepler, and this podcast is all about ditching black and white thinking and exploring the gray areas of health, happiness, and everything in between. If you're ready to feel empowered and inspired, then let's get to it. Hello, welcome to episode 41 of the All or Something Living podcast. And this week we're going to talk about the best way that you can approach any diet or quote lifestyle change. So I get this question pretty often from friends. And if you've followed me or if you've known me for a while, then you know that I am actually anti-diet. I don't really necessarily believe in diets or lifestyle changes, even because lifestyle changes are often just disguised as a diet. The reason that I don't believe in diets is because I believe that there is no one-size-fits-all approach. Well, I don't not only believe this, but I know this for sure. There's evidence out there that shows this, that a lot of times when people are boxing themselves in, like trying to find a follow a diet exactly, and I know this from experience, they'll feel like it can be really difficult. Like it's not working for them, but they feel like it should work for them because maybe it worked for somebody else, or they're being told like all it takes is willpower, and if you have enough willpower, then you can stick with it. So people are often left feeling like they're a failure, and then they feel like their health problems or their weight problems are that is something that's their fault and they're uncontrollable, and you end up feeling stuck and not actually being able to make progress with your health for that reason. So it goes back to that black and white, all or nothing sort of thing. And diets are an all or nothing sort of thing. That's how they are approached. So that is personally why I am anti-diet. I am a certified holistic health coach. I'm a integrative nutrition health coach. And then I'm also in school full-time in college as a nutrition student. So that's why I get a lot of these questions. I've also spent the last 5 years healing my relationship to food and myself. And through that journey, I've learned to ditch the diets and to start eating intuitively. So to listen to my body and to honor my own needs and learn how to tap into, like, to understand what it feels like when I'm hungry, what it feels like when I'm full, to reduce the amount of emotional eating that I'm doing, and instead learn how to cope with things. And so there's been a lot to it, but I've learned, and based on the research I've done over the years, it's the best approach to actually improving your health instead of being on the yo-yo diet train where you're like really strict and you're doing really good 1 week and then you fall off the wagon and you're back to square one. That can not only cause a lot of physical issues for your body, it can actually decrease your health, but it can also cause a lot of psychological and mental issues. So I think it's better to just learn how to be gentle with yourself and improve your relationship with your body and your health in a good, not so strict, dogmatic place. And I recommend dogmatic. Dogma is one of the first words that I learned when I was learning about diets and how they weren't working for me anymore. So dogmatic really sums up kind of how the diet world and the diet industry is. Very similar to often the extremes that religion can go to, or even like politics. So that sort of thing. And I believe in finding balance between things and finding the all or something of whatever it is that you are going through. All of that being said, I'm aware that not everybody is on the same page with me as that. And if I am truly trying to be health promoting, like if I'm trying to help you improve your health, I can't just deny certain desires or thoughts that you have. I can't shut those things down in you. And I don't want you to feel ashamed if you are interested in trying diets or if you do want to try lifestyle changes. Maybe you haven't dove into them as deeply as I did. So you don't, maybe you're still in a place where you think that they might work for you and you want to try that out. So I don't want to deny your own choices. But I want to be realistic about meeting you where you're at right now, and then offering you some guidance from that place. Because obviously for me, I've gone through a lot of different phases in this health journey. And I've been helping people for years, even before I was anti-diet. So I can see all perspectives, and I just want to make sure that you're going into it as safely and realistically as possible for you. So that's why I'm recording this episode for you. And before we dive in, if you are an avid listener of this podcast, or if you listened to a few episodes and it's helped you in some way or inspired you in some way, I'd love to hear your feedback. So please leave a review wherever it is that you listen. It means the world to me. It gets the word out about the podcast, and it's your way of paying me for the work that I am doing every single week when I release these episodes. It's a lot of work. It takes a lot of my time. I'm passionate about doing it, and I'd love to be able to keep doing it without having to charge or quit doing it altogether. So please just take a few minutes out of your day to leave me a review and let me know what you think. So as I kind of talked about before, the reason that I decided to talk about this on an episode is because I do have a lot of friends that come to me and ask me, what do you think about the keto diet? What do you think about this new diet I'm going to try? I'm doing the Arbonne 30-day cleanse. Like, what is that like? And I've done all this, you guys. So I have the knowledge and I have the experience, but I don't just look at my own knowledge and experience. I like to take perspectives and experience of many people, and all that's why I've done a lot of research on this to kind of know what the pros and cons are of the different options. But regardless of whatever it is that you choose to do or whatever you're thinking about doing, the advice is always the same. It's more about approaching it from a holistic and, as I keep saying, realistic perspective, rather than like looking at it individually. Because every diet is so different. Everybody's bodies are so different. Every experience is so different. There are some people, I've noticed this is true with a lot of men. Like men tend to be really good at sticking to diets, or at least from what they report. You never know if somebody is actually really sticking to it. But men they're really great at sticking to diets. And I think that's just the way that their brains are wired. You know, they are better at the black and white thinking. They're more logical, but women, we're more emotional. And so telling us to only eat a certain way and then we have a bad day and maybe we want like a brownie or some chocolate or whatever. And then what we tend to do is we'll have that thing and then we'll feel guilty for breaking the diet. And then we end up eating more because of that. And so it sends us into this big shame spiral. That's why I think that it's more important to learn how you can approach any diet or lifestyle change, or you can even apply this to anything else that you're doing in your life. But basically, these are my terms for an all or something approach to whatever it is that you're doing. But we're going to apply this to diets and lifestyle changes for the sake of this episode. So my first tip is that if it doesn't feel like it's something sustainable, if it doesn't feel like it's something that you can do for life, even like if you're just checking it out and you're like, this seems really tough, this seems like kind of miserable, then just be aware of that. A lot of times that doesn't deter somebody from actually trying it out, but just have that in your mind that this doesn't really seem like it's something I could do for life, so I'm not going to beat myself up if that's the case, but I'm still willing to try it. Then the other really important thing to build on that is that if it feels like torture or it sucks, it's not right for you. And that's such a misconception that I had back in the day when I thought that like having this certain body or being even just being healthy, I thought that it came with a cost. I thought that it was supposed to suck. I thought that I was supposed to be hungry in order to be healthy. I thought I was supposed to ignore my body's like signals. And I thought a lot of things that weren't true. And so at that time, no wonder it was hard for me to stick to any diet or exercise routine if it sucked, because why would you want to do something day in and day out that makes you miserable? Just like if you were in a job that you hated, why would you stay in that job for the rest of your life if it's making you unhappy? That, I want you to know right now that the cost of health and the cost of a healthy body is not your happiness. It's not your giving up your favorite foods. It doesn't mean being really strict and hard on yourself. It should not be painful, because changing my approach to the way that I was eating and all of this, it's and exercising, it feels good now. I'm doing things that make me feel good, which then is the reason why I'm consistent with it, because it feels good. It feels right for me. Maybe it wouldn't work for somebody else, but it works for me. And that is why it's sustainable for me for life. So another thing is to be gentle with yourself. You cannot fail. And a lot of these diets will set you up to believe that you can. If you don't do it 100% perfectly, 100% right, then you've failed and you're wrong. And there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with your willpower. You're broken, whatever. But don't think that if you have one bad day or one slip up or whatever, that it means that you're just like, maybe that doesn't even mean that it doesn't work for you. Maybe there's some things that you need to work on. And just like everything else in life, you can't grow without conflict. So it's not like you're ever just going to ease into something and just be perfect at it. You have to give yourself room for error and failure. And that's what I really love about intuitive eating too, because instead of feeling like you either did something right or wrong, you get curious and you ask yourself, well, what could possibly have caused this today? For example, if I would come, when I was first learning how to eat intuitively, I would come home and I would be ravenous and I would just eat a bunch of food without thinking and paying attention to my hunger and fullness levels and, or paying attention to when I was full. And so I would ask myself, what do I think caused that? Like, why do I think I did that today? And oftentimes it was because there was too much time between my lunch and then my dinner. And so I was really ravenous by the time I was eating. And it's really hard to listen to your body and to actually slow down and enjoy the food if you're just so hungry that you just want to scarf it all down at once. So then you ask yourself, okay, what can I do to make this better next time? And I learned from that experience that I should have emergency snacks stashed all over the place. So even if it's just like a few almonds or a bar of some sort, peanut butter, anything, something to just curb my hunger until I can get a meal in. That way I'm able to be more mindful and take my time eating and, So instead of feeling like it was pass or fail, it was like, okay, how can I make this work for me? And then as I said before, remember that the goal in doing all of this, the goal in your health journey is to find something that works for you long term, to find something that you can do for life. So doing a temporary thing that doesn't feel sustainable, that feels really difficult, doing it and saying, I'm only doing it for a month or I'm only doing it for a few weeks or whatever, you might work really hard for those few weeks and you might torture yourself and say it was worth it because you lost weight. But just remember that it's going to result in weight gain when you return back to the old habits. Like, that's just how it works. So you're going to be back to square one. So why put yourself through that torture when you could just from the beginning ease into something that actually really does work for you? The very best thing that you can do, the very best approach is to improve your relationship. Work on improving yourself, or your relationship to food and yourself. Because if you're hating yourself or you're hating your body or whatever it is, then you're gonna feel like changing it is the solution. You're gonna feel like weight loss is the solution when really there's a lot of deeper issues at hand here. And then if you're saying, well, I just want to follow this weight loss plan or this diet or do this cleanse or buy these shakes so that I can just take the thinking out of it, so that I just, instead of reaching for something when I'm feeling emotional, I just have this shake instead, you're never really addressing the root cause, which is your emotions, which is these emotions that you're feeling are overwhelming and you don't know how to handle them. So you're choosing to eat instead. And telling yourself that I'm just going to eat this shake or eat this thing whenever I feel emotional, just forcing myself to do that is not addressing what's really going on for you. So you need to address like what it is that's causing you to want to eat when you're not hungry. Is it out of boredom? Is it because you need to learn how to cope with your feelings? Like there's a lot at play here. And if you don't address that, then you'll never learn. And then the other thing, this is a very unpopular opinion, of course, but you don't have to follow it exactly. You can tweak whatever it is that you're doing to fit your own personal needs, your own lifestyle. That's what you should be doing. You can even combine different elements of various diets or nutrition advice to customize your own health journey. And that's what I've done. I don't eat strictly paleo or keto or vegan or vegetarian, but there are a lot of elements to the way that I do eat that like have, I guess you could say, inspiration. Like I could be eating something and people would be like, oh, are you vegan? Are you keto? And I'd be like, no, this is just what I wanted today. This is just what sounded good. So I mix and match like different things. And instead of trying to put myself into one box in one category, you can still take inspiration for your health needs. Or even like, for me, it's a lot of times I pay attention to, does this food make me feel good? That's second most important. First important is, do I enjoy this food? Because again, it goes back to, I'm more likely to actually eat these foods if I actually enjoy them. So learning to be an intuitive eater too, for me, means I won't eat foods that I don't enjoy just for the sake of health. That doesn't work for me. I don't do that to myself. And there are so many great foods out there that I can, that I like, that I love, that are good for my health, and I will focus on eating those. And again, of course, like a lot of people don't like vegetables either, but for me, I didn't like vegetables, but it also came down to how I was preparing them. I thought that I was supposed to steam all my vegetables, and they were flavorless and bland. So that's something to keep in mind too, is preparing them in different ways. I like to add my veggies into dishes now. I like to cook them in olive oil. Sometimes butter is really nice. Season them. Like there are so many different ways to try a veggie. But if you've tried a certain food in different ways and you're like, not my thing, don't force yourself to eat it. Like don't do some cleanse. If you're drinking like celery juice every day, for your health, but you hate it and you're gagging it down, like, fuck that. Don't do that shit. Like, there are so many other ways to get your nutrients in and your veggies in a way that you will enjoy. All you have to do is explore and find that. So the key takeaway of this episode is that, and this might take you quite a while to learn, because it took me, I didn't want to believe this. I think I was in denial for a long time about this. But there is no magical solution. There is no one-size-fits-all approach. So the best thing that you can do is tune everybody else out, even the experts that are going to scare you. They use fear-mongering techniques to make you believe that like you're going to die if you eat this certain food, or you're going to die if you don't eat this certain food. You're going to hear a lot of conflicting information. And also keep in mind that nutrition science is still a very new science. I think it's either one of the newest or it is the newest science. So there's a lot that we still don't know. And you can become the biggest expert on your own body. You, at the end of the day, know how you feel. Nobody else is going to know how foods make you feel except you. So you have to learn to tune into yourself and your own needs. So I hope you've enjoyed this episode. And if you have a key takeaway that you want to share, you can leave that in your review. Please do let me know what you think of the podcast. So don't forget to leave a review wherever it is that you listen. I appreciate it. I love you lots. And next week, we're going to talk about taking risks and showing up even when it's scary. Can't wait to talk to you then. But until then, just remember that you are enough and you are doing enough.